learned the Sefer HaChassidim says that there are five conditions that must be met before a person is permitted to daven. Number one, to meet the five conditions, the person has to do Netilas Yodayim. Number two, he has to be properly dressed. Number three, the place has to be properly cleaned. Okay, those are the three. The environment must be proper. And now we're up to number four. Okay, one more time. He has to wash Netilas Yodayim. He must be properly dressed, which means Liboy Shmona Esrei, his heart, his chest must be covered. And number three, the environment must be clean. There may not be any odor or anything, an erva, woman or a man that's not properly dressed, and there may not be any human or animal waste in his vision, in his eyesight, and again, there may not be any odor. Now, by the way, let's say a person passes gas. If a person passes gas, so there's a difference between himself and someone else. If it's someone else who passes gas, and he is in that vicinity, so technically there's no prohibition. A person is allowed to continue davening the Shmona Esrei, because it's a davar she'ein boy mamish. Obviously, it's not a pleasant thing. It's not a pleasant thing, but technically it does not prevent. The person wants to stop, can concentrate, he wants to just wait a few moments until the odor passes. That's ideal, of course. But technically speaking, a person is not obligated to stop if there is a bad odor because someone has passed gas. That's different than when there is an actual human waste. If there is human waste or animal waste, then the odor prevents you from davening because the source is a davar sheyesh boy mamash. But if it's not davar sheyesh boy mamash, in the example that we have discussed, then if it's from someone else, there's no need to stop, technically. But the person, if he is responsible, if it's due to him passing gas, because whatever the situation is, he himself should stop. Because he is the source, the rule for himself is different than if from someone else, he shall wait until that odor passes. Okay.
That's what we're learning.
I want to learn halacha. No. Yeah. The hagdama to the sefer. The hagdama to the sefer was Musar, but now we have finally reached the section where we do halacha. The whole sefer is halacha. Sefer Chassidim is a halachic sefer. It's one of the first halachic sefer that was ever written in a form that we can relate to. And I can post to the Rambam. The Rambam is a halachic sefer, which is a little bit too much to absorb. There are too many details. This is more like a kitzur shulchan aruch. It's very practical, but it's definitely different because not everything that it says here do we actually accept halacha lemaisa in our day and age, because the shulchan aruch came along 500 years later, whatever it was. 400 years later, 400 years later, whatever it was, and we codified everything. And then came the Ramah, and then we have the Shach, and the Taz, and the Magen Avram, and we have the Mishneh Berurah, and all the modern-day Poskim to get down to where it is today. So we really, this is not necessarily Halacha L'maisa, but yet there's something very unique and very special about his approach to Halacha. Even if we do not follow everything that he says, it definitely opens up an appreciation for the subject matter. And the best that I can, if I have time, to try to incorporate, to bring in practical halacha lemaisa from other sources that will enhance what it says here. So here, we are in the middle here.
The other Pere is sending close to this person that
he can continue. He's allowed...
Yes, by order.
Yes, he's allowed to. He's allowed to. Should he? If he wants to stop, he can stop. But if he wants to continue, he's allowed to continue. Okay, he's allowed, but the person himself who passed gas has to stop. Has to stop until the odor dissipates. That's the basic halacha. Now, go again. So this is in general very unique, and now he lays out five conditions. Five conditions that are necessary. The first three is modern day halacha. A person has to wash the tilas yodayim. Number two, he has to be properly dressed. Number three, the environment must be clean. And now we're going to an area which is not necessarily halacha lemaisa, distractions. There are some distractions that are worse than others, And let's see how he presents it. Devar machoimus and ma'asogim non-alash marbet and gimel. Study which distracts a person. Case on harish ha'yitzrach lin kavaga. This is halacha l'maisa. If a person has a need to go to the Beis HaKiseh. So he has to go to the Beis HaKiseh. He's distracted. His mind is distracted. V'hispalel tefilasai te'eva. Now it's very interesting. What exactly is the reason why a person, if he davens, it's not a valid tefillah? So I always thought it's because it's like this tzor. There, if a person has a need to go to the Beis HaKiseh, he does not have a guf noki. His body is not clean. That is something which is almost as if there is human waste in front of his eyes. It's fascinating that the Sefer Chassidim does not seem to say that's the problem. The problem is because he's distracted. There is no human waste. The human waste is in his body. If it's in his body, it's concealed. It's covered. It's not exposed. There's no odor. And there is nothing out in the open. It's, like we say, tuma balua. It's absorbed in the body. So there's no issue. So what then is the issue? So he seems, by the fact that he puts this issue within the category of distractions, it's a new insight that I personally never thought, looked at it like that. The reason why you're not allowed to daven when you have a need to go to the Beis HaKiseh is because you cannot possibly concentrate. If you are in a state of discomfort, what kind of words are coming out of your mouth? And that opens up a whole new world of understanding, is that if that's true when it comes to going to the bathroom, why is it any different when it comes to if your cell phone is ringing? If your cell phone is vibrating? Okay, most people, myself included, are much more distracted when my smartphone is vibrating in Mil Shemoneh Esrei than if I have to go to the Beis HaKiseh. And what's so frightening is you see people all the time in the middle of the Mil Shemoneh Esrei, they'll actually take out their phone that's vibrating and look at it. Who's calling? Who's calling? And cancel it. And Rachmana Lislan, the text, the middle of the silent Shemona Esrei, it has happened to some people. Yet, if it says here that if a person has to go to the Beis HaKiseh, he's distracted. And that turns his tefillah into an abomination. It's frightening. Alachas kama v'kama, other distractions that we suffer from in this modern world, it turns our prayers into an abomination. That's Tumah. He finishes the Shemoneh Esrei. He had to go to the Beis HaKiseh. He should go to the Beis HaKiseh, and then he should daven the Shemoneh Esrei all over again. The first Shemoneh Esrei was invalid. Now, what exactly is called when a person has a need to go to the Beis HaKiseh? It means only when a person's imminent. I have to go right now. But if a person is able to withhold himself, what is parsa? Parsa is 4 mil. 4 mil, which is about 72 minutes. Okay, we're going to discuss this a little bit later on, part 3 of the shir. 72 minutes of parsa is 4 mil. A mil is 18 minutes. 18 times 4 is 72 minutes. It takes 72 minutes to walk a parsa. If a person does not need to go to the Beis HaKiseh for 72 minutes, so even though if he were to go to the Beis HaKiseh, he would be able to release waste, but it's not necessary. He could wait 72 minutes, then he's fit to daven. But if he knows that he has to go to the Beis HaKiseh within 72 minutes, then he's not allowed to daven. And the terms here are very harsh. It's an abomination. And if he does daven, he has to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei.
If a person feels it, so he should stop the middle of Shemoneh Esrei and just go.
It's a bracha levat aliyah. So the person is that matzah where yes, he has to stop, go to the Beis HaKiseh. It's a hefsek. He has to start do it all over again. A person is all of a sudden overcome. He has diarrhea. We have some issue, and in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, I have to go. I have to go to the Beis HaKiseh. He should definitely stop right where he is. Go to the Beis HaKiseh, and when he comes back, he should begin the Shemoneh Esrei all over again. Going to the Beis HaKiseh is called a hefsek no matter what. Releasing waste. Okay, releasing waste is called a hefsik, and therefore he has to start the Shemoneh Esrei from the beginning when he returns.
What about smichas gula l'tefillah?
So you lose out. What can you possibly do? You can't always have smichas. That's a hider. You can't always have smichas gula l'tefillah. The im ha yachol l'ham and atzma akdei mahalach parasit l'tefillah. If you have alpichim lo yisfal ad shivdak yafa yafa, a person should not daven. He should, but when a person comes to daven mincha, ma'ariv, shachris, the first thing he should ask himself is, do I need to go to the Beis Hakiseh? That is the proper thing to do. People are not makbid on all these things. These are halachas. These are mamash halachas. People, I need to go, but I can wait a half an hour. Yeah, you can wait a half an hour, but you can't wait an hour. Okay, we all know, we all have that sensation. I can wait a half an hour, but not so. Then it's really not proper. A person should have a guf naki when he davens, and the yisoid is distraction. It's not a good thing to be distracted when you daven the Shemoneh Esrei. The yasir kicha next distraction. This is something which I think is not as practical today. The Yasir Kichai Viniyak Vichol Dvar Rukoi Vichol Soya Sachaitem. Today today the average person is not as sensitive to this as they were even 50 years ago, but a person should clean out his mouth. If there is an excess of saliva or phlegm or any mucus in the nose, all of these things should be released, should be cleaned before he begins the Shemoneh Esrei, because these things can be a distraction. A person has to blow his nose in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, that is a distraction. Yes, all of these things should be done ideally before you begin the Shemoneh Esrei. Today, the chol soya sachaitim, the achar, kach yispalel, and then he davens. Mi shegiyek upiyek, okay, a person shegiyek or nisatesh, b'tfilosoy, b'ritsoyle harei zed mizim, the person sneezes, or he lets out gas, or he burps. These are different types of sounds. Okay, I'm not sure exactly. Well, itish means to sneeze. Misatish means to sneeze. And the other words are gihek, upihek. I'm not sure the sneeze. It means something like he burps, or he makes certain types of sounds. Berotzen. We all know that sometimes a person can hold himself back. He doesn't have to burp. He doesn't have to sneeze. There's sometimes you have no choice. But sometimes a person has the ability, so the person does it on purpose. This is not proper. Hare ze migune. It is not proper. Next. Unless a person examines himself and then discovers, and he's discussing over here the same thing, burping or sneezing before he begins the Shemoneh Esrei with his kicho, he has to spit. There's some type of excess of saliva or phlegm, and it suddenly appeared in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, and he has to release these things, it's fine. It's not called migune. He hasn't done nothing wrong. He takes out a handkerchief, takes out a napkin, takes out a tissue, and he uses it when he sneezes, and then he has to clean out his mouth. Since he prepared in advance, it's not his fault, and this is not called a hefsik. Going to the Beis Hakiseh, that's a hefsik, because that's, you're in a muffin where you can't be. Is tsoa, and releasing waste itself is something which is against the grain of davening. But these type of things of kicha v'niyoy and reik is not called a hefsek, and you do not need to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. Next, nizdam lebetilos a reik. Let's say there's extra saliva, mavliyoy, betalisoy, or bebigdoy, handkerchief. Talisa over here means, I don't know what the standards of Saudi were in the ancient times, they had different standards of how they deposited saliva. You know, everyone knows Napoleon. Why do you have, everyone knows this. Why do you have buttons on your sleeve? Why in the world are there buttons on the sleeve?
Prevent you from rubbing your nose.
So it's in the wrong place, everybody says. The button should be over here, not over here. The skadu hadiras.
You remember on the east side they had the spittoons?
No, I don't remember the spittoons.
Yes.
I do.
Okay, the skadu
hadiras. On both sides of Belema there were spittoons.
Spittoons, the spit, release spit. Today, unheard of, right? Disgusting. Who would see a spittoon? Okay, so they would wipe their nose on their sleeve. Napoleon did not appreciate his soldiers, they looked like schlumps. They had dirty sleeves, so he had all of them sew on their uniform buttons to prevent them from wiping their nose on their sleeves. Why is there a button over here by his side? What's this doing over here? On your shirt, on your jacket. What are the medals? They're not a button, there's an opening. It's locked. Mine is locked. Most people are locked. No. It's if you wear a black hat, Borsa black hat, if you notice the black hats, they still have them. There's a button. You're supposed to take off that strap and wrap around your hand. No one even knows what it's there for. and you're supposed to attach it.
Attach it on it.
You've done it?
Yeah, I've done it. When we were kids and we learned about it, we started doing it. I went these days. And the hat blew off and it didn't go on the floor. It
didn't go on the floor.
Because the band is elastic and it just pops back up.
That's why you have this on your jacket. To take your...
Your hat,
pull it off, and they attach it to the bun. In any event, if a person, therefore, they wiped it on, it seems that at some point in time, they would actually, while he's writing this before Napoleon, way before Napoleon, and they would wipe their nose on their beged, on their sleeve. So he's saying you can do that. You can do that in the middle of Shemona Esrei if necessary. Times have changed in 800 years. Quite a bit has changed in 800 years. They say that Rav Yaakov Yosef, he lost his shtel, he lost the respect of the people when he came to America. Rabbi Rakefet is one that he emphasizes all the time. When he came to America, he was a European. And when he became the chief rabbi of New York, the whole America, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, what was his last? Rabbi Yaakov Yosef. Joseph? Yeah? Oh, I know that. Okay. So Rabbi Yaakov, when he came to America as invited to be the chief rabbi of New York, And he gave his first drasha. It was an American crowd. The Americans at that time, even though it was so many years ago, they already were accustomed to using handkerchiefs, small handkerchiefs, like we have no different than today, or tissue. They had tissues, work on tissue they had in those days, but they had small handkerchiefs. The Europeans had like a scarf. They didn't use, that was what they had. That was the Messias. In Europe, they had like, what was it called?
A neckerchief?
Yep. Big, massive, like a scarf, and that was what he used as a handkerchief to wipe your nose. So when he gave his first drasha, he sneezed, and he took off his scarf, and he wiped his nose, and everyone gasped. And they didn't understand. They did not understand that it was a cultural. This was their Eretz where he came from, because these were all Americans, and they never saw this, and they thought it was very. It was very crude, and that started it was a bad sign. It started got it from the wrong foot.
Use a regular handkerchief.
Tie it on the sweat. There is a technique to carry on Shabbos, so you use it to collect the sweat under your neck. It's a malbush. And then you use it later on as a handkerchief. Okay, so here it's when he says this expression here that you go and you wipe your nose on your beged, What does that mean exactly? It means either literally on your sleeve. Okay, 800 years ago they had different standards, or it means on a neckerchief, right?
Yes.
Or what today would mean you have tissue. Today people don't even see people using handkerchiefs too much. You put a handkerchief around to carry on Shabbos.
Paper?
No, not what, paper?
Paper handkerchief.
Yes, I think you can.
Around your neck?
Around your neck? It could be. Let's say a person wipes his nose on a handkerchief or on a tissue, and it's disgusting. He cannot even tolerate his own tissue. So you take your tissue and you throw it somewhere in the back of you. Times have changed, obviously. We don't relate. We really do not relate to the standards. The main point over here is at least he does emphasize. It's sort of mind-boggling. Can you imagine what he would tell you? Would come today and see the distraction that we deal with during davening. Kadesh lo yitzar batfila, the person should not have any discomfort, he should be able to concentrate fully. Next, yatzim min ruach batfila, shlo be daitar. So here we have the person's on the ruach tachtoin. Person passes gas. Shoysek ad shetichle haruach. The person himself who passes gas should pause. There's an odor, he should wait until the odor passes. Ad shetichle haruach v'choyze litfilosai. Let's say a person has a need to release gas willingly, okay, and he would prefer that he not do so. So it depends. Sometimes a person is in a situation where the pressure is not as great where he can withhold it, and sometimes it's impossible. Sometimes it's too painful to withhold it. So what should he do? So he explains. It's painful. So what should he do? So it says something very important. You're in the middle of Shemona Esrei. There is no harm in the middle of Shemona Esrei of walking away. You're in the middle of Shemona Esrei, you feel the need to pass gas. So you know what you do? This halacha lemaisa. You walk. You can walk in the middle of Shemona Esrei, even though we like to stay together. You're not glued. No one put crazy glue under your feet and tied you down there. You can move away to another part of the shul or outside and pass gas and then come back inside. And that way you're not going to discomfort other people and you're not going to discomfort yourself. Marchik dalid amos umamtin. Now here it says v'lo yochel ha'amid asatzman. Now here it seems to say that it already happened. The scenario is different. Let's say it already happened. So then what you can do... Okay, I'm not exactly sure what it means over here, but based upon the point of view, if it already happened, he already said, if it already happened,
you have to wait.
And let's say a person wants to release it, so he says he should distance himself, dalet amos. Now, why you mamtin, ashatich lo reach? I guess if there's still a reach, I'm not sure why you do both. Just go back to your place. I don't know what this means. I don't know why you have to do both. Bikesh lochotzi ruach melamata when it's ta'er, harbe, v'loyochel lahamid atzvay, marchik dalet amos, yimarchik dalet amos, and I guess it means you release the gas, mamtin, atchatich lehorech. Why don't you just go back to where you came from? V'oymer, and you say the following nusach. Now this nusach is only when, we don't do this anymore, bizman hazeh, when you're not in the middle of Shemona Esrei. If you're in the middle of Shemona Esrei, you can't do this. V'oymer, riboin kol ha'ilamim, Yitzar Tani, you have created me. It's like a synopsis of Asher Yotzar. Nikovim, Nikovim, Chalolim, Chalolim, Goloy Vidur Lefnei Chisech V'decha, Cherposeinu, our shame. Kol Yimei Chayenu, we are nothing but a Rima V'Soleya B'Moseinu. We are, in our lifetime, we're just a piece of shame. In our death, we are consumed by worms and maggots. V'choyzer U'mispalil Al Mekoymai. Okay, this comes from the Gemara, and then you go back and return to that. Of course, this can only be done when you're not in the middle of Shemona Esrei, you're in a part of davening where you're allowed to be mafsik, which would basically be only halacha lemaisa today, as far as we're concerned, in Psukei de Zimmer between Mizmoirim, but not the Emsa HaMizmar. Halacha lemaisa, we don't even do this, Bizman HaZeh, no one does this, Bizman HaZeh, this is not practical, we don't do this, no one does this, to say this Nusach in the middle of davening, no matter what. We are not accustomed to doing this at all. It's like the halacha, you know, when you go to the Beis HaKisei, he's supposed to say, Hischabdu mechubodai. A person is accompanied by angels. And you ever see angels surrounding you? Yishlach, the person is surrounded. When you go to the Beis HaKisei, you don't want to trouble the angels to come with you into the Beis HaKisei. So what do you say when you come to the Beis HaKisei? You say, Hischabdu mechubodai. May my honored ones be honored. It's an expression meaning stand down. I have to go to the Beis HaKisei. Take a break. Go out, have a cigarette. Go out, have a cigarette. Did you ever see someone say this today? Only in the mental homes. In the mental institutions. I have Nehemiah. I spoke to him that long ago. He once told me there. I told you, you hold over that story where there was a fellow in Yeshiva University in YU. Who said to Rav Aaron, who said to Rav Herschel Schachter, he says, Rebbe, I see them, he said very seriously, Rebbe, I see the Malachim. So should I, when I go to the Beis HaKisei, am I mechuyev to say to the Malachim, his distinct stature, he strokes me, he says, it's a very good question. Why don't you ask them? Ask the Malachim. Ask them what they think. Let them decide.
Did he come back, or did he ask him when he's been
smoking? So there are certain things that we don't do today. Okay, we don't say Yischavda b'chubodai, and we do not say this nusach. No one ever says this nusach. Next, Hayoi me'ebet filu v'dat v'miraglayim al birkav rachamana litzlan. A person is cannot control the miraglayim. This is a sickness. People are rachamana after surgery. They have to have a catheter for a period of time. It's a very common question. A person after surgery, they have to have a catheter. And they're portable. It's portable. It's attached. It's strapped onto their legs. And the question is, can they even daven? Can they come to shul? It's totally concealed. But while they are davening, there is dripping. It's dripping with their raglayim.
So it's not so simple. It's a pretty complicated question. Because even though there is no odor, there's no fragrance, the bottom line is the body is releasing waste as you're davening Shemona Esrei. So let's say, discuss the classic case. So it seems to say is that once, while the Meir Aglaim is being released, then you should wait. And once it's released, then you can return to that. What about the odor? Obviously, we're dealing over here in a situation where there is no odor. Why not? I guess it's an earthenware floor. It's an earth floor. It gets absorbed into the body, into the ground. And there's no odor. Today, you can smell this a mile away. Okay, we're very sensitive. Baruch Hashem, today, we have to appreciate this. If we would be living in New York City, only, let's say, 100 years ago, if we would take us, and we would take in the time machine, take us back, you wouldn't be able to survive one day on this street. You know why?
Horse
the
manure.
Stench of the horse manure waste would drive you mad. Okay? That's
sewage.
What we would see.
The sewage.
The sewage. We're spoiled rotten. Okay, today you smell even a teeny mashu of something that's not right, you call the fire department. Okay, and 100 years ago, it stunk. The whole city stunk. Literally. There were more horses than there were people. And the horses don't have a Beis HaKise. The street was full of it.
You go to some of these kibbutzim where they fertilize the land, and it's all over.
And the smell is just unbearable for us. But in those days, it wasn't unbearable. So meraglayim, urine, today, for us, unbearable. But in time, 800 years ago, it wasn't so unbearable. It wasn't so unbearable. And especially if you had an earth floor, and it gets absorbed immediately into the floor. So in the middle of Shemona Esrei, Rachamon, the person is not well. And he involuntarily releases Meir Aglayim. While the Meir Aglayim is flowing, he should not recite, because that's the releasing waste. And that is the Bezoyim at the time of Shemona. But as far as odor, it's not an issue. When it stops and it's absorbed, it's mutter.
Probably today with a catheter, I don't think there's odor. It goes
today there's no odor, but the problem is there's no odor, but it's being released from the body when the person davens. So a person basically should daven, a person who has surgery, and the doctor requires him to wear a catheter for, let's say, for a period of time, strapped to his body for a period of time until everything heals. So during that time, he can come to shul, but he should make an assessment that when he davens the Shemona Esrei, when he's davening, his body should not be releasing waste, if he can have that sensation.
What happens is, it's closer to the closed bag.
Right, so the closed bag is fine as far as odor is concerned. And the truth is, Meikar Hadin, Meira Glayim is not so. It's not in the category of waste. So you have a halacha. If you have it in front of a person, there is a collection of meraglayim. I don't believe you. I think you're allowed to daven Shemona Esrei, if I'm not mistaken. The only thing that prevents you from davening Shemona Esrei is you have in front of you tsoa, okay, excrement, not urine. Urine is not in halacha considered to be something which prevents you from davening if it's in your presence. Even the odor, because it's not considered to be in halacha. It's not a pleasant odor, but it's not in halacha considered to be something which is an ikuv in tefillah. But what is an ikuv in tefillah? If the body is releasing the waste while you're reciting the Shemona Esrei. Because that represents a failure in the person's body. So when it's being released, you have to stop. When it stops being released, and it's collected in a container, and the container is covered, and there is no odor, especially for today, then you can proceed. And that's basically what it says. There's a lot of modern-day practical halacha that comes out of this discussion, because unfortunately today, due to the advances of modern medicine, people have various types of surgeries where they have to have this. I know my father, I know people, this was Shiloh, people had this, they had like a particular type of surgery, and they had to have this catheter like for a month. I think it appears like it was like a month, whatever it was. And the question is always, are you allowed to daven? Are you allowed to come to shul, this and this? And the answer is yes. But when you are davening, just try to assess that you're not actually releasing waste. And a person cannot make that assessment. You figure out. Don't drink before an hour before davening. The chulu, every person is able to figure out exactly what to do. But as far as odor, there is no odor. And as far as being present in the shul, it's not a present because it's contained in a bag or in some type of a device. Yes.
If drops of urine falls on the body or on the cloth.
Yes.
No problem.
No problem. No problem.
They should not clean by themselves after urine.
No, you're not going to touch it. Touching it makes you dirty.
With paper and with tissue, you should not clean yourself.
You can use tissues as a font because tissues you're actually touching. If you actually touch, you have to wash the tilas your diet.
I know. Not only the drops of urine is falling. No.
The rule is, if you touch it, you have to. You're not allowed to proceed until you wash the tilas you're dying.
It cares someone is touching this.
If no one is touching it and it's present, it's not a problem. You can continue davening the Shemoneh Esrei, provided that it's not being released at that moment in time. Let's go further. A person has to wait such a long time where you can daven the entire Shemoneh Esrei, then you have, that's called the Hefzik, you have to start all over again. There's another halacha, that a person, a person has to wait after he goes to the Beis HaKisei for Ketanin, there's what's called Nitzaitzais. Just because a person thinks that he has finished releasing Meirag Lion, the body involuntarily continues to release more Meirag Lion for the amount of time it takes to walk, Dalid Amos. So just think that when it comes to a person, it's not again at this time of thing, Bizman Azeh, but if a person he releases Meirag Lion, he has to wait another couple of seconds before he continues reciting the Shmon Davening, because there's going to still be a small removal of waste involuntarily after he removes it voluntarily. Okay, that concludes distractions. And I said distractions, the word is hachoifzim. Hachoifzim is, I said the word distraction, it's not really a good translation. I don't even know what it means. Hachoifzim means something which is, it distracts, but it's more than just a distraction. It's a physical distraction. Okay? Phlegm. Sneezing, burping, going to the Beis HaKisei, it's a distraction that is rooted in something physical. That's how it's been used over here. Now we come to category number 5. A distraction that is not physical. A matter of kavanah. Okay, let's do this very quickly. I want to do some other things and something else. Kavanah salev ketzad, a person has to be able to concentrate. Ketzad, kol tefillah shehayin achbekav kavanah, yachsav yisbal bekavanah. May ikar hadin, if you do not have kavanah during the first brach of Shemoneh Esrei, you have not fulfilled the davening, and you have to daven the Shemoneh Esrei all over again. The first brach of Shemoneh Esrei is critical that you pay attention to the translation of the words. Matzah daita ki b'shubeshes, v'libay tarud, also l'sval sheyishyashev daita. The person knows that he cannot concentrate. I am fatrach, my mind is preoccupied with something, I'm business, family matters, illness, I just cannot concentrate. You are not allowed to daven. You're potter from davening. Me'ikar hadin echoson, on the night of his wedding, is exempt from davening ma'arif. Why? Because there's no way in the world a chosan can concentrate. There's no way you see the chosan concentrating, they're shuckling their head off. Come on. How could they possibly concentrate when they're shuckling there by mincha, by the chuppah? Chazal have taught us 2,000 years ago, that when they're shuckling there, they're not concentrating. You do al chay, because I'll tell you the answer anyway, why. But when you see a chosin there by mincha, by marv, by the wedding, by the chosin's tishdar, mincha, marv, 2,000 years ago, Chazal said, who are you fooling? Who do you think you are fooling? There is no way in the world you are able to fully concentrate every single word of the Shemoneh Esrei and the Kriya Shema. You're getting married tonight. There are a million things on your mind. You're nervous, you're not nervous, this, that. There's always something to distract you by your wedding. Forget about it. So you know what? Don't waste your time. Don't bother. Don't say Hashem's name in vain. That's the way it used to be 2,000 years ago. Why today do chassadim daven mincha and ma'arif and they shakol and say al-chayt? It's because, guess what? Everyone else in the room also can't concentrate. Okay? The Rosh Hashiva sitting next to him is also not concentrating. No, I'm not joking. This is a reality. The reality at a different degree to what we really require. Today, unfortunately, we're not on the level today where anyone can concentrate. So since anyway we're not concentrating, so you might as well just say, like everyone else says, if you do the best, the standards today have been reduced to very, very low, you do the best that you can do. You daven and you mechuyiv to daven mincha, you mechuyiv to daven ma'ariv, you mechuyiv to say kriya shema, because if you're not, then no one's going to ever daven anything. No one will ever daven, because it's like hayro asha. Just like there's a hayro asha, that you've had a good translation on the whole.
Maybe anxiety?
Anxiety?
Something.
That's interesting.
It's like the word from chipazon, right?
anxiety, but it's a type of the anxiety which is rooted in the previous chapter, rooted in something physical. It is impossible. We don't concentrate, therefore we do it anyway, no matter what. Now here we go. So if a person mikra adin, he should not daven unless he can concentrate, and he holds to that if you cannot concentrate, you're part of mikra adin. Halacha l'maisa, we anyway do it. But a person should strive the best that he possibly can to have kavan at least during the first bracha. If you mess that up, now here's the rule. Let me just tell you the whole thing outside very quickly because we're running out of time. If a person davens, recites the first bracha, let's say he finds himself in the middle of Shemona Esrei ready, and he did not warm, I don't know how far it goes, but if you find yourself already after you finish the first bracha and you realize you did not concentrate, so what you're supposed to do is review in your mind the first bracha and review the words with kavana. That, to a degree, compensates for saying the first bracha of Shemona Esrei without kavana. Ideally, when you say the first bracha, you should pay attention to the translation of the words. If you do not pay attention to the translation of the words, it's basically your Shemona Esrei is a bracha levatola. However, in our day and age, you do not, under any condition, repeat the Shemona Esrei. Because who says you'll do it better the next time around? However, if you do have some Yishuv Hadas, and you can, the next best thing to do is to concentrate, to go back and, in your mind, in the middle of the Shemona Esrei, review the first bracha in your mind, mila b'mila, word for word, with the translation, and to some degree that will retroactively give sanctity to reciting the first bracha of the Shemona Esrei without kavana. Now the next thing the person should do, the next best thing is, some hold that if you mess up on the first bracha, there's a tikkun to have kavana when you recite modim. Modim is the next most important bracha to have kavana for the peroish hamilas. And that can salvage your Shemona Esrei. So these are the two most critical brachas, the first bracha and the bracha of modim. Me'ikar hadin, if your person knows in advance that he cannot concentrate for the first bracha and modim, he should not daven, should not say Shemona Esrei. That's the ikar hadin. Halacha l'maisa, no one would dare do that today, because today we have different standards. But it's worthy to appreciate what the real halacha is, so that when we approach davening, it should be with a little bit more seriousness. The goal is remove distractions. No one is telling you, this is a very important insight of the Sefer HaChassidim, and that is, kavana does not mean positive. It does not mean think this. Think about this kavana, this need. That's not what it's about. You know what kavana is? Removal of distractions. Natural. We always get the impression on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, what do you got to do? You have to buy a special siddur that has, when you read this word, this is what you should be thinking. When you read this word, you know, interlinear and all these things, they give you what to think about. Okay, it's good, it's a tool, but the real, you know what the real kavana is? The real kavan is not to think about, when you say Hashem's name, think about this. When you say Atah, it means you. It's just don't think about other things. Remove the static. Remove, and then it's just natural that you're going to read the words that it says. We're backwards people. We're living in a backwards world where we can't even think like that. Because, unfortunately, we're so far gone, we need, in order to remove distractions, we need to be told what to think. Maybe by thinking this, somehow it will remove another distraction. But that's not what it's all about. And he says that 800 years ago, he said it very clearly. What the goal is, Ketzad Hi Kavana. Sefer Chassidim is always on the mark. His brilliance and his sharpness, his wit, is uncanny. Ketzad Hi Kavana, you know what it is? You know what Kavana is? Sheyifane Eslibo Mikol Machashavas. Just remove the stack. Ki'ilu Ho'ayvi Lefne'emel Amakam Amsenu Lefne'el Ribayna Shalayla. Lefichach Tzach Lishbais Ma'at Koy Matfilo Kedil Chavanes Atfilo Alibo. He gives you the ultimate technique to daven, and unfortunately people don't discuss this, is, you know what it is? to come 2 minutes early. Coming 2 minutes early to davening can do for you wonders, can do mifsim. Coming 2 minutes early and sitting in your chair and do nothing. Waste your time for 2 minutes to sit in a chair. Don't go on the smartphone, don't text. Just sit there and do nothing. Somehow it's magic. It's magic. It causes all the static, all the waste in your mind to just to flow out. And then when you say Ashrei, you discover, you know, there are words here. I actually know what they mean. I actually have some connection to the davening. It's an amazing thing. We don't have that in New York City, the fast-paced society that we live in. Every second, you schedule your day to go to Mincha, not chas for shalom to be a second early. Not a second early. You leave Bidiyuk. You leave Bidiyuk. You have an app telling you how many seconds it's going to take you. You synchronize the light. You have to have an app. There'll be an app soon. You know, they have now apps to go on the bus. You go on the bus. It used to be, I go on the bus, go on the train. So I go to the train and I wait. I whenever it is. So then in Baruch Hashem, they tell you by the train station, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, real. Then they say real time when it's coming. And now, you don't have to do that. Now there's an app, and I see the app tells me where the train is, and it makes a cheshbon for me, how much time it takes me from where my location, GPS coordinates, to get to the train station. You need to leave in 30 seconds in order to make sure you get to the train. And they're so sophisticated, they even coordinate the red lights crossing from Ocean Avenue to 19th to 18th to 17th. Everything is super duper coordinated to make sure that you don't waste a second, as if time is so important to you, right?
You know how long it takes to get up the steps.
So Chazal were way ahead of all this technology, and they said it's not a good idea. All this technology is not a good idea because you need to waste time. Chazal wanted you to mamish waste time. You go to shul 2 minutes early and sit there and do nothing. Absolutely daydream. It does wonders.
Don't say Tehillim.
It's distraction. Distraction Tehillim. It does wonders. Just to sit there and do nothing in order to just somehow let your mind settle so that you'll daven the mincha.
Sometimes
okay, we're going to stop over here because I want to go do a little something else. So we'll stop over here and we'll take a very short break.
Sometimes at the border, on the shore there, they want to put and it's scared. They feel it is very heavy, border on the shore there. And when we are a small kid in the shul was eaten, tefillah below kavana, kibbut below neshama.
You want to wait?
Comes to the rabbi and says, Rabbi, why are your shuls dirty and our churches are so clean? The rabbi says, simply, your God has a mother, she can come and clean up for you. Why, then the Galak says that, how come in our churches it's quiet? And when you doubt me, you're loud, everything. The rabbi says, we have an old God. He doesn't hear so well. You have a younger God. Then the rabbi says, how come by your funerals, you cry and everything? But yes, it's
a celebration of life.
Right. So the rabbi says, you know, you're right. Better to see the funerals by you. Three pronged. I remember as a kid, the shuls had a spittoon. You see the building on each side. That was tied to, they used to give out a snuff. And snuff would provoke.
I didn't hear that.
Oh,
I didn't
spitting.
Know that. I didn't hear that.
Not only that, they used to chew tobacco. That provoked and spitting on the snuff. That's why there was spittoon. I remember the shul on the Lower East Side of my grandfather lived. He had two spittoons on both sides.
Fascinating. Today it will be detestable
to have a spittoon minute thing break. I can't do it. I'll end up extending it for the whole davening.
Okay, I want to discuss today for a few minutes.